present Barry Foster as Sergeant Cribb and John Cater as Constable Thackeray in A Case of Spirits by Peter Lovesey, adapted for radio by Jeffrey M. Matthews. A Case of Spirits.
Mr. Cribb. It's good to see you, Sarge.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it, Thackeray. Forgotten the first principles of plain clothes work, have you?
Hardly, Sarge. Never draw attention to yourself by behaving erratic.
Exactly, Thackeray, and we are in a public house.
Point taken, Mr. Cribb, but... You know I don't get paid till Friday.
Should learn to budget better then. Landlord, 2 swipes, if you please.
Right away, Guff.
You look older, Thackeray.
It has been 2 years, Sarge.
Adding an inch or 2 round the waist as well. I don't like to see a man go soft just because he's off the beat.
No fear of that, Sarge.
Fourpence, please, Guff.
Right.
Don't just shout when you want to top
her. Here's to crime, then.
The only reason I had you transferred from Rob Wright. Recall your old beat, do you?
Oh, I pounded it long enough, Sarge. Piccadilly, Leicester Square. Blimey, bring back memories, they do. Clobbered old Charlie Peace just down the road. You remember, Sarge? The murder at Banner Cross.
Past history, Thackeray. Just hope you're as familiar with Burlington House.
The Royal Academy?
Exactly. You ever go there and see the paintings?
No. Only portraits interest me. We're at the yard, in the convict gallery.
You better cast your eyes on this thing.
Blimey. Goats. Well, bloke. Things. Undressing a woman. Positive indecent.
Classical art, Thackeray.
You ain't saying this postcard comes from the Royal Academy.
Bought it a few minutes ago. The original painting, Sleeping Nymph and Satyrs, hangs in the Diploma Gallery. Think you'd recognise it again?
Forget something like that. Someone planning to nick it, are they?
They have already.
But you said it was in the Academy.
It is.
You've lost me then, Sergeant.
Listen carefully, Thackeray. The artist, Etty, painted 2 versions of this picture, one for the Academy, the second almost identical, except that the woman is totally unclothed, for a private collector, a gentleman named Dr. Probert.
Oh, heard of him all right, sir.
Oh?
Makes Dr. Probert's pick-me-up. It's a real good tonic.
Possibly, Thackeray, except that this Dr. Probert is a scientist, a member of the Royal Society. Collects paintings as a hobby.
All ladies in a state of nature?
I have no idea, Thackeray. All I know is his Etty is missing.
How?
A break-in.
Break-in? But that's petty crime, sir. It should be handled by the local bobbies.
Seems you ain't lost your sharpness, Thackeray.
Why, you know as well as I do, locals don't call in the yard for anything less than murder.
So?
Probert must have influential friends.
Just one, at the yard. An old acquaintance of yours.
Old You don't mean... Not Inspector Jowett.
The very same, Thackeray. And we've orders to meet him at Burlington House. Now.
The Diploma Gallery. Every academician, when elected, must deposit one of his works here. Turner, Reynolds, there's a constable over here, Inspector.
Huh? No, Thackeray. That is a Lancer.
All right, Thackeray, come.
However, as I have a little time to spare, I believe we should get on to business. And that is this painting here. Sleeping Nymph and Satyrs by Etty. You have an opinion, Thackeray?
It's worse than the postcard. Honest, sir.
I believe Constable Thackeray considers the work somewhat...
Risqué? Well, possible to the masses, Cribb. But I assure you there is nothing here that is unfit for the gentry or Scotland Yard to gaze on.
Obviously not, sir.
Now, Thackeray, I take it that Sergeant Cribb has told you there are two versions of this painting.
Exactly as ordered in your memorandum, Inspector.
Then you realize why I have brought you here.
Obviously, to see this picture.
And to commit every detail of it to memory. Dr. Probert is most exercised over his loss. I have assured him personally that we will ensure its recovery.
The local bobbies, they turn up anything?
Very little, Constable. The painting was taken from Probert's residence in Richmond last Friday. He, with his wife and daughter, were in London. Dr. Probert was lecturing at University College. They discovered the loss when they returned home.
They thought they'd have servants.
They do, Thackeray. Four. But three had the night off. The fourth, an elderly woman, is stone deaf. Claims she was in her room, heard nothing.
Possible. And only the one picture was taken?
Just the Etty.
Could be another collector.
That is for you to discover, Cribb. But rest assured, the Etty must be recovered. I have given my word.
Naturally, do our best, sir. Don't suppose you have any other information which might help?
Only a rather strange coincidence, Cribb. On the Saturday preceding the break-in, Dr. Probert invited a few guests to his residence. And when one of them, a lady by the name of Miss Letitia Crush, returned to her home, it too had been burgled. And again, only one item was stolen.
This Miss Crush, she a collector as well?
Not of pictures, Constable. No, Miss Crush collects valuable china. The piece taken was a Royal Worcester vase.
Worth a bit, eh, sir?
Not really. About £30.
30 quid? And she don't think that valuable?
Not when you consider that most of Miss Crush's pieces cost more than 1,000 guineas each.
Don't know any cracksmen, that's stupid. Miss Crush, she a close friend of Dr. Probert?
Hardly. They met about 3 weeks ago, professionally. They have certain interests in common.
Anatomy?
Education classes may have improved your vocabulary, Thackeray. However, do not permit your animosity to those of a superior social status to yourself to vitiate your deductive processes.
Definitely not, sir.
Miss Crush and Dr. Probert are seekers after truth, involved in the study of life after death.
Spiritualists.
You could say that, Cribb. I prefer to consider them scientists.
As you said, sir, seekers after truth, as we all are. In our different ways, of course.
Of course, Cribb. So go out, seek, delve. But above all, Sergeant, be discreet.
You! You there! Private property! Be off!
No cause for alarm, sir.
Damn you, man! Warning you! Trespassing! Be off, or I'll set the law on you!
No need for that, sir. Name's Cribb. Sergeant, criminal investigation.
You? You a policeman?
From Great Scotland Yard.
Then stop wasting time, man! Back of the house, that's where the damn scoundrel broke in.
Through the basement window.
A barred basement window, policeman.
Easiest way, sir. Short of handing over your latchkey. Only needs a rope and a metal rod.
Damn poppycock!
Sir, Dr. Probert, sir.
Save your breath, Sergeant. He will be waiting for you inside, in his picture gallery.
Afternoon, ma'am. My apologies for not seeing you.
I would hardly expect you to notice me through a hedge, Sergeant. And even if you had, your apology is quite unnecessary.
Hardly, ma'am.
You're very charitable, Sergeant, but... Well, I go unnoticed by everyone, even my husband. I'm quite resigned to it.
And then you'll be the lady of the house, Mrs. Probert.
Yes, Sergeant. Though I might as well be anyone else. As you see, I'm quite unsuited to be Augustus's wife.
But you are his wife, ma'am.
But
so perhaps you'll indulge me, answer one or two questions.
Perhaps. But first you must speak to Augustus.
Took your time, policeman.
No, sir, just passing it with Mrs. Probert.
Behind the privet, was she? Usually is. Notice her attitude, did you?
Attitude, sir?
No need to beat about the bush, policeman. Must have noticed Winifred don't understand me. Still, my fault. She knows the only reason I married her was for money. Gave me all of it. Damned handsome daughter and 21 years of sheer boredom.
Dr. Probert.
Know how I kept my sanity, policeman? Distractions. Go on, man. Look about you. What do you see?
See?
Velvet curtains.
Yes, velvet curtains, policeman. But behind, peace, tranquility. Here, policeman. Reclining nymph by Boucher. His wife in classic pose. Exquisite. And here, rape of the Sabine women. Look at those limbs, the skin tone.
Very interesting, sir, but in my job I do see quite a few works of art, and right now there's only one that concerns me.
The Etty.
Yes, was it your most valuable picture?
No, oh, mere 300 guineas. I have an Angra worth 10 times as much. Sure you don't want to examine any of the others?
No, just where the stolen picture was hanging, sir.
Very well. Better cover these up, then. Can't be too careful, policeman. Not with ladies in the house.
So they're not permitted in this room?
My wife, daughter, servants have strict instructions. But one never knows, not with women. They are a perverse sex, policeman. Yes, at times I
am... The Etty, sir.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Here. You can see where the scoundrel cut the picture from the frame.
Huh. Not very carefully, either. Worked fast, risked tearing the canvas. Very rough work for an art thief. Makes me wonder.
Wonder?
How he plans to sell it. The canvas will have jagged edges. Need a very convincing story to explain that.
So?
Is he a plain picture thief or someone with a special interest in, classics?
Who the deuce is this fellow?
Thackeray, sir. Detective Constable.
Well, Jarrett knows what he's doing. Sit yourselves down.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Not in that chair. The settee. Not too proud to share a seat with a public servant, but damned if I want him staring me in the face. Hey, now, policeman. What have you got to say?
Exactly what I said before, Dr. Probert. I need those names.
No, they were my guests. They were in my house in the interests of science. Damn me, I'd rather forget the whole thing.
And lose your painting, sir?
Jared did say you were discreet.
Completely. It would ease matters, sir, if you told me.
Very well, policeman. Remember, I rely on your discretion.
You have my word. Start scribbling, Thackeray.
Well, apart from myself and Miss Crush, there were 4 others at the table. Alice, she's my daughter.
I didn't notice her last time, sir. Obviously, she was at her place of employment.
She ain't in employment, policeman, no, but keeps herself busy, nevertheless, does charitable work, helps destitute families.
Wouldn't have thought there were many like that around Richmond.
No, the devil of a job finding them. The girl tries. Used to cross the bridge into Twickenham till I forbade it.
Was she on a charitable excursion yesterday?
No. Treating herself to a new hat. A friend of hers owns a shop in Hill Street. Alice spends a deal of time down there. Too damn much, according to her fiancé.
Was he at your séance as well?
Could hardly exclude him.
The gentleman's name, sir?
Nye. Captain William Nye.
In the Navy, is he?
No. Bought himself a commission in the East Surreys. Would be an asset to any regiment.
Can hardly suspect him, then. Or your daughter. Leaves 2 others...
Yes. Well, Henry Strathmore, he's one of the lads.
The fast set, huh?
No. Life After Death Society. Strathmore's the secretary.
So he's visited your house before?
No. Usually meet at my club. Only invited him down because I know of his interest. Odd fellow, but not the type to help himself to my picture, in case that's what you're thinking.
Hardly, sir. And your last guest?
It wasn't a guest, policeman. It was a medium. A fellow called Brand. Peter Brand.
You sure you ain't overlooked some hunger?
You think I'm senile? Oh, what? You mean the spirit visitor, eh?
I was thinking more of your good lady.
Winifred? Good heavens, no. Woman's terrified of ghosts. Spent the whole evening locked in the bathroom.
This medium, Sir Peter Brand, he's well known?
You must have heard of him, Sarge. Mm. At seances down Store Street. Word is he's got quite a reputation.
And damn well deserved, especially for someone so young.
Young, sir.
Well, that's only about 20. Even more remarkable when you consider his background.
So he ain't a gentleman?
From Blackheath? No, father's a cabbie. As for Brand, has that undernourished look common to the less fortunate class? Pity, but wouldn't surprise me if he died young.
Spirits do take a dreadful toll of a man, sir.
whatever his class.
How did you first meet Brand, sir?
His crush. He's, protégé.
This Worcester, was it on the sideboard the night of your séance?
Yes. In fact, I asked Peter, Mr. Brand, if it was safe to leave my collection in open view. Spirits can be perverse, you know. He assured me nothing would harm them.
Seems he was wrong.
You have a sense of humour, Sergeant. I like that.
Compliment accepted, Miss Crush. Now, the séance. Nothing untoward happened then?
No, the spirits were extremely calm. All they moved was the table.
Oh. Hmm. Excellent bit of furniture, Miss. Very solid. Strong legs. Miss, there's a man under here.
It is only Mr. Strathmore. You may come out now, Mr. Strathmore.
No need for that truncheon, Sergeant.
Sorry, sir, just disconcerted. Didn't expect to.
To find a man under my table. I thought of telling you as you came in, but, well, the construction you might have put on it.
Actually here by appointment, Sergeant. Had no idea you'd be calling.
Mr. Strathmore is a distinguished psychic investigator.
Secretary of the Lads, I believe, sir.
Ah, then you've heard of us, Sergeant. Excellent. You know what we do?
Vaguely, sir.
Scientific investigation of mediums, Sergeant. Necessary if we're to prove conclusively that there's a hereafter.
And that's why you were under the table?
Yes. Yes, looking for loose floorboards, hidden springs, hollow legs. 12 years investigating, Sergeant, and I still have to find one medium who is not a fraud or a charlatan.
And your opinion of Peter Brand?
Oh, difficult to say. That table was perfectly in order, but so was Dr. Probert's. And having seen Brand's performance, there is nothing to suggest fraud. And that is truly remarkable.
Dr. Probert's house, sir. Did you make a full inspection?
Just the room where the séance took place. Why?
He didn't show you his pictures, then?
He most certainly did not.
I see. Was Brand present when you examined the table?
No, he left right after the séance. Had a hansom waiting.
Do you recall the time?
10:30, precisely. Hmm. I keep a meticulous record of every séance.
Then you'll know what time Miss Brush left as well.
Oh, yes, at 11:30. I left 10 minutes later.
Why are those times important, Sergeant?
Because they established that Mr. Brand left Richmond at least 1 hour before you did, Miss. And when you got home, your vase was missing.
We're going to question Mr. Brand now, Sarge.
Interval's only 10 minutes, Thackeray. And I'd hate to upset Mr. Brand before his performance.
I hope he's better than Professor Quayle's then, Sarge. Throttle's a ticket. I reckon we should do him for false pretenses.
Try getting one of his spirits in the witness box. Now, did you get anything from B Division?
A cool reception, same as at Richmond. They don't like the yard poking. Can't say I blame them either.
Nor I. But we're accountable to Inspector Jowett. He's thick with Dr. Probert, so... Oh, he's coming tonight, by the way.
Probert?
No, Jowett. So...
Understood, Sarge.
Good. Now, the break-ins.
Both uncommon crude, Sarge. Hereafter house. Miss Crush's residence. Glass pane broken on the rear door. Thief used a brick.
Clumsy.
Especially when there was a window with a broken sash cord a few feet away. He could have got through there easy.
How does Richmond compare?
Just as crude, Sarge. Entry through a pantry window. Number of attempts at prising the bars apart. That's when he thought of the old rope trick. Pulled the bars. He made a shopping mess climbing in as well. Knocked a load of stuff off the shelves. Tins, packets, scattered rice and pearl barley all over the floor.
So you reckon he's an amateur?
Right, Sarge. But an amateur who knows both Miss Crush and Dr. Probert. The table turner who's a pretty poor burglar.
Inspector Jowett?
No, not him, Sarge.
He's heading this way, Thackeray. Oh, get your feet off that chair, man. Evening, Inspector.
Evening, officers. Well, what do you think of the performance so far?
Entertaining. But actual spirit photographs, hardly, sir. I reckon this Professor Quayle's onto a good thing.
He's not breaking any law, Sergeant. As for his reputation, Professor Quayle has held seances in some of the best addresses in London. is in demand everywhere.
Seems like Peter Brand's taking over, then.
Makes it all the more generous of Quayle to include the boy in this lecture.
Hey, Sarge. There, second row. Ain't that Dr. Probert?
Yes. And Miss Crush.
Oh, so you've met the Lady Crib?
This morning, sir.
And you were tactful?
Gentle as a lamb, sir.
Good. Glad Probert was wrong.
Sir?
He repeated something you said about putting the screws on Miss Crush.
Oh, pure slip of the tongue, sir. Pure slip of the tongue.
A moment of truth, Crib. I think you'll find Brand most instructive.
Thank you, friend. Thank you. You have witnessed the wonders of my spirit photography. Now I bring further proof that another world exists. Yes, friends, all around is another audience, invisible yet wanting to communicate with the living. But to do this, they need a kindred spirit, a man gifted by the Almighty. And we have such a man with us tonight, a medium who is the talk of London society. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Peter Brand.
Thank you, Professor. Thank you.
Shifty-looking beggar, Sarge.
Friends, my gift is at your disposal. I will try and make contact with your dear ones. But I know some would not wish personal thoughts to be presented in an open meeting. So I ask this. Those who wish to be contacted should place a small personal object in an envelope and write their name on the outside. Now, friends, who will be first?
Over here, please.
Miss Crush. I reckon they'll all be people he knows, Sarge.
They needn't be, Thackeray. Come on, pockets. What have you got?
Only me derby, Sarge.
Good. Grab an envelope, scrawl your name on it, and hand it over. We'll see what Mr. Brand makes of those.
Please, friends. Mr. Brand needs silence to concentrate. Have you a message for the lady, Mr. Brand?
Bear with me, Professor, please. Yes. Yes. Do you have a residence in Belgravia, Miss Crush?
Oh, in Eaton Square.
Then I have a message for you. It is from your uncle. His name is... I see a W...
Uncle Walter!
He remembers taking you to Crystal Palace to the Great Exhibition.
Oh, I was a young child then, but I remember.
He says that the Great Exhibition where he is now is even more magnificent. No, I'm sorry. I'm losing contact.
Uncle Walter!
No, he's gone, Miss Crush. But other spirits are waiting. Now, for this envelope. Feels heavy. If you would read the name, Professor.
It is signed E. Thackeray, and it contains a pair of handcuffs. Is this some form of joke, Mr. Thackeray?
Hardly, Professor. Only thing I had available.
Even so, Mr. Thackeray, I consider, as I am sure the audience does, that you have shown arrant bad taste. You are a policeman?
Correct, sir.
Out of uniform, but obviously prepared for all emergencies.
Every one, sir.
Very commendable. But since handcuffs are not a personal article, they are unlikely to evoke a response from above. Are you ready for the next envelope, Mr. Brand?
No, Professor. No, I'm sorry. There are adverse spirits here. Excuse me, friends. Excuse me.
Really, Sergeant?
Sorry, Inspector. Come on, Thackeray.
Where, sir?
Stage door before Brand does a vanishing trick.
Look, I ain't done nothing to be ashamed of.
Didn't say you had, Mr. Brand. No, it's Thackeray here who's ashamed. Stopping you right in the middle of your act.
It's no act.
My mistake then, sir.
Look, I didn't want to parade on that platform. It was Quayle. Said I had to get me name before the public. And seeing as he's been good to me,
Good to you, Mr. Brand.
Right. Taught me how to get in touch, didn't he?
Thought it was a gift from the Almighty.
Oh, it is, but you've got to learn how to handle it, ain't you?
So Professor Quayle changed your life?
Right. Mingle with the aristocracy now. And without the Professor's help...
Very generous of him. Why did he do it?
Well, he had to. He's almost lost his powers. Happens to mediums as they get older. So when he found his power going, he started looking around.
To pass on his knowledge?
Right.
And his contact?
Well, he got me some engagements, but get most of them on my own now.
Miss Crush, one of them?
Crush? Yeah, as it happens.
Just hope that audience out there don't find out.
They tear you limb from limb.
Look, give me a chance, eh? Look, if I have the good fortune to spot someone I know, why should I turn me back? Besides, it keeps her happy.
No doubt of that. And quite surprising, considering her loss.
Loss? What loss?
The night you held a seance at Dr. Probert's, a vase was taken from her house.
Blimey, not the Minton. Worth a cool thousand, that was.
It was the Royal Worcester.
That rubbish. Here, you don't think I nicked it?
You're not a collector, then?
Well, I might be once I can afford it, get me own place.
Renting digs, are you?
Yeah, from the Professor. And there's no room for china there, I can tell you.
Pictures, then?
What?
An Etty, stolen from Dr. Probert. Two thefts, two of your clients. Well, Mr. Brand.
Here, they don't suspect me.
They don't, but others might.
Look, I'm booked for 3 more seances at Probert's. That's 30 guineas. Think I'd risk that? Me future, I'd have to be off me head.
And I don't think you are. These things that happen at your seances, do you really believe in them?
Look, I don't get money by false pretenses, if that's what you mean. No. No, strange things happen when I place my hands on a table. Things I can't control. And if you don't believe me, ask anyone who's been at my seances. Objects move. Shift. Touch.
Oh, do you see it, Dr. Probert?
Quite unbelievable. A hand. The way it's floating, Strathmore.
Oh, after 12 years to witness such a perfect materialization.
It is a common manifestation. Now, please keep a firm hold on each other's hands, and it will come among you.
It touched my cheek. Oh, my dress. It's tugging at my dress. Oh, my hair.
We're not having that, Alice. Look here, Brand, I will not have my fiancée interfered with.
Keep your hands on the table, Captain Nye.
Damned if I will. Stop it. Where the devil is that fruit coming from? Stop it. Stop it.
Now you may switch on the lights, Dr. Probert.
Yes, sir.
The spirit has left.
Damn you, Nye. Hmm? 12 years. Waited 12 years for this, and you ruined it.
Gentlemen, please. Ladies present.
And we can try again later.
What, and have Alice interfered with again? No, not even in the name of science.
But I am perfectly composed, William.
That, dear, is for me to decide. No, you will leave this room immediately. Damn place looks like a subaltern's mess after the colonel's gone.
Then allow me to clear it up, Captain.
Yes. Got servants for that. Alice, ring for a maid.
Yes,
maid? Thought you'd given them all the night off.
I have. Well, leave it for them. We'll go on to the second experiment. You are willing?
As soon as I compose myself. Oh, look, those poor chrysanthemums. And water all over the mantelpiece. Lucky I always carry a large handkerchief. There. Well, at least it won't drip all over the carpet. Oh, might as well clear up the rest as well.
Leave you to it, then, Brand.
Excellent, Doctor. You can show your friends what lies behind the curtains.
There. The apparatus for my second experiment.
The chair?
A very special chair, Miss Crush.
Those wires, they're electrical, ain't they?
Yes. The chair is linked into the household's electrical supply. Jowett? If you will sit on it, please.
Sit? Are you sure, Probert?
Perfectly safe, Judd. Current's off. And have a safeguard as well. Box there. Transformer. Drops the house voltage from 400 to 20. Low enough to be safe, high enough to register on a galvanometer.
Where does Brand fit in?
Allow me to finish, William. Yeah. The brass handles on the chair arms, Judd. Hold on to them, please.
Oh, they're soaking wet.
Mm-hmm. Salt solution. Makes for better electrical contact. William, the galvanometer there. If you'll bring it out here.
Oh, yes, right.
Wire is long enough. Ah, jar, it is isolated behind that curtain. Grasping the handles are wired to the chair. When I switch on the current, it will travel to one of the handles.
Pass through, Mr. Jarrett.
To the other handle, completing the circuit. I will now switch on.
Careful.
Ah, not too uncomfortable, I hope.
A slight tingle, that's all.
William?
Yeah?
The galvanometer.
Ready? Steady at 180.
Excellent. Now, Jarrett, release one of the handles, please.
The needle, it's jumping all over the place.
Exactly. Proves everything's working. Ah. You can come back now, Jarrett.
So, Mr. Brand will be monitored like that?
Precisely, Miss Crush. As long as he holds onto the handles, the meter will stay steady. But if he frees even one hand, we'll know.
Be simpler if a couple of us watched him.
Impossible, William. For this experiment, Brand needs to be totally isolated.
Why?
Brand is going to reach for the ultimate.
The total manifestation of a spirit, and with his talents? Yes. Tonight, Probert and I will have the proof. Then let the skeptics laugh. Mm.
Well, better not keep Brand waiting.
But he'll be in a total trance. Isolated from this world, and with his heart...
Leaves him vulnerable, does it, Miss Crush?
Any noise, interruption, could cause him severe shock.
Then we shall be grateful he is willing, Miss Crush.
Still a risk, Doctor.
Hardly, Dad. We're all responsible people. When Brand is not totally isolated, all that lies between him and us is a thin curtain.
The room, Doctor. It's getting colder.
Time 10:20. Galvanometer steady at 180.
Chill. Yes, I can sense something.
Yes. Yes, I can feel it too.
Keep hold of my hand, Alice. Quiet, please, William. Any fluctuation, Jarrett?
Steady as a rock.
Oh.
You all right, Miss Probert?
Yes. Do not be alarmed, William, but a hand... It is stroking my hair again.
Damn me, I'm going to switch on the lights!
Stay where you are, Captain Nye.
It means no harm, William.
Galvanometer still steady at 180.
Yes. A presence. I feel it. It is almost here. Trying to come among us.
It's there. Behind the curtain.
Galvanometer still steady.
Oi! Hey, Cohen! What's the breeding game?
A spirit. Perhaps someone should look behind the curtain, Papa.
I think we're justified. Strathmore, please. You're nearest.
Right. Is everything in order, Mr. Brand?
No, it bleeding ain't. Get Probert in here, quick.
Coming, Brand. William, switch off the current.
All right.
Oh, blast. Damned salt solution. Light a candle, someone.
Forget that. Who did you send in here to spy on me?
Spy on you? No one's left the room.
Oh, someone must have. Crept in here just as I was entering me trance. Shot could have finished me off.
Nobody would want that, my dear. And we all heard the footsteps. Possibly the visitor came from elsewhere. Even from the other side.
The spirit? Nah. Somebody came through that door. Startled when I shouted.
My boy, think. You have just proved that eternal life exists.
A materialization?
No other explanations possible, Brand.
I agree. You have succeeded. Materialized a spirit. But now we must go on.
As soon as I recheck the connections, Probert. That is, if Mr. Brand's willing.
All right then. Seeing you all can't be deceiving me, we'll, start fresh. See if we can get our visitor back.
Time of resumption, 10:40 p.m. Time now, 10:41.
Galvanometer, reading steady. No, hang on, it's dropped. Oh, steady again.
Brand must have moved slightly.
Going more deeply into the trance. Temperature. It's falling again.
Cause the fire's almost out, Miss Crush.
Hush, William. No, it is getting colder.
Alice, look, over there.
Oh, what now, William?
The door handle, it's turning. What
What in blazes are you up to?
Following a suspect, sir. Lost in somewhere in the house.
Well, he ain't in here. The meter, Probert. The current's broken. Brand. Strathmore. Light some candles.
Yes.
God. God.
His hair. It's standing on end.
Don't touch him.
William.
Yes.
The current. Switch it off.
Oh, Peter. What happened to him?
Electric shock, miss. Best dealt with by the doctor.
No. I must help. Peter. Peter.
Electricity's off.
Good. We will try resuscitation. Grim. Anyone see where he went?
No. No, he just ran out. Oh. Gone for help, I'd imagine. Too late for Bran, though.
Oh, no. You must try. You must. You must. Oh, please do something.
Miss Probert, if you will console my lady.
There, Miss Crush. Oh, come. Sit. Calm yourself.
Winifred. Stay here, everyone. Grim!
Be right down, sir.
What the devil is going on, Grim?
Just arresting a felon, sir.
Well, by throwing him downstairs, knocking him senseless.
Not me, sir.
Well, then who, Grim?
The lady who screamed, sir. Mrs. Probert.
There were voices, shouts. So I opened the bathroom door a crack. There on the landing were two men. I thought I was about to be assaulted. I stepped out and hit one with my book. He fell downstairs. It's fortunate for Sergeant Cribb that I hit the right target.
Brave of you, Winifred. Now, Cribb, who is the damn villain?
Just one more seeker after truth, sir. Professor Quayle.
Oh.
Well, ain't you going to question him?
He's safe enough, sir. Right now, it seems there's more important matters to consider.
Oh, really? And who in blazes do you think you are?
Time to explain, I think, Probert.
Yeah, of course, sir. Inspector Judd from Scotland Yard. So is this other fellow.
What did you say?
Really? It still don't mean I have to take orders.
We are the criminal investigation branch, sir. Now, two lamentable events have taken place here, and as my sergeant has already indicated, the sad demise of Mr. Brand must take priority over a mere attempt at burglary.
Surely they link together, Jowett?
Please explain.
Yeah. Thought it was obvious. Brand and Quayle live in the same house, work together. So, I ask myself, what was Quayle up to? And my answer, assisting Brand produces obviously fraudulent phenomena. Damn man was a charlatan. A treat. And this has proved it.
Fraudulent? Really, Strathmore? An hour ago you were swearing eternal life was fact.
Gentlemen, one way to settle matters. I need to search the deceased. If he's carrying a white glove, false hand...
Get on with it, Crib.
If you'll keep inventory, sir.
Right. Cigarette case. Matches. Railway ticket. Waterloo, Richmond return. Silver watch. Initial PB. And a wallet. 3 10 bob notes. And a photograph. Bit dog-eared.
Let me see it, Crib. Oh, a lady in a music hall costume. It's not significant.
Does have a scribble on the back, sir. Numbers.
Hmm? Oh, yes. I suppose we better make a note of them.
469... And just below 9281, followed by a square.
Mean anything, Jared? Possibly, to Brand. Well, nothing here to suggest fraud, Strathmore.
Well, he must have passed the evidence to Quayle.
Hardly, sir. All Quayle had on him was a rail ticket and a flask of gin. Fortunately, that survived his fall.
Forget that, Sergeant. Now to Brand. There'll be an inquest, so I will need formal statements from everyone.
Like to make one first, sir. This mark here on the carpet, right where Brand had his feet. Feels uncommon damp.
Well?
Water's a good conductor of electricity. I'd like to know how it got there.
An accident, Sergeant. A bowl of salt solution kicked it over when Brand shouted. Couldn't have caused it, death.
Why not, sir?
Current was off. Besides, the damn patch was nowhere near Brand's feet.
Might have moved them forward, sir, after the current was switched on.
Even so, voltage couldn't change. Maximum reaching the chair was only 20 volts. Can confirm that, Crib.
Maybe, sir. But Brand was electrocuted. Dr. Probert, you said Brand shouted.
Happened halfway through the sales. Claimed someone entered the study.
Quayle.
Must have been him. Or you, policeman.
Wasn't me, sir. But Quail's a definite possibility. Could have spotted me when he entered through the back door.
Entered? You mean broke in, don't you?
No, sir, the back door was unlocked. Would have thought your staff would have learned.
Just keep to the point, Crib.
Well, by the time I was inside the house, the professor had vanished. I went downstairs towards the cellar.
And couldn't find him. And why? Because he nipped into the study. It was dark, he tripped over the transformer, and old Brand got 400 volts.
Impossible, William. Galvanometer would have burned out. Besides, when Brand screamed, Professor Quail was upstairs, with a policeman following behind.
Does it really matter, Papa? We know the professor was here. I'd just like to know why.
Etty, I have no idea what you're talking about, Constable.
Sergeant, in fact, sir. Etty painted the canvas you nicked.
I have never heard of him.
Don't doubt it, Professor. Just proves you're no connoisseur of art. Can't do a decent job of housebreaking, either. The mess you left in Dr. Probert's pantry. Tea, sugar, pearl, barley.
You accuse without proof, Sergeant. Your premise could apply equally to Peter Brand. Even more so. His class are often tempted to steal from their betters.
Got all the answers, haven't you? Oh, I did suspect Brand, all right. Then I clapped eyes on you at Store Street Hall. Got me thinking.
Really?
There was Brand. Young, ambitious, capable of earning fat fees from the gentry. Yet glimming yokels for pennies. And sharing a stage with you. Had to be a reason.
There was. I invited him.
So he could help line your pocket, accepted Professor. Now, tell me why Brand should queer his pitch. Rob his wealthy clients when he was fleecing them handsomely already.
Fleecing them?
Thackeray's handcuffs, Professor. They terrified Brand. And not because he was a thief. Oh, no, sir. Because he thought we'd tumbled his trickery. That he already knew Miss Crush.
Oh, that. Pure opportunism, Sergeant. And perfectly legitimate.
Don't think your audience would see it that way. You interested in prize fighting, Professor?
Hardly.
Well, you've a lot in common with the great Jem Mace. And you know, Professor, there's only one thing the fans he like better than a novice who comes fresh to win a championship, and that's the older, who comes back and knocks him out again. And that's what you intended for Peter Brand.
Arrant nonsense.
No, that's why you helped him. So you could stab him later, figuratively speaking, by stealing from his rich clients, letting suspicion fall on Brand. Far better than exposing him as a fraud and raising doubts about mediums in general and you in particular.
Very ingenious, Sergeant. But if we accept your theory, I should now be robbing one of Probert's guests. Strathmore, perhaps. Or even Miss Crush. But I am here.
Right, sir. In fact, I thought you'd be at Miss Crush's tonight. If you'd gone there, you'd have been picked up by a Constable Thackeray. But since you headed this way, I was obliged to follow.
And now?
I'm arresting you. On suspicion of entering this residence with intent to commit a felony, and I must warn you, there will be other charges.
I will deny them. You have no proof, Sergeant.
Got the proof, all right, sir. See the small white object? I put it in the water a few minutes ago. Swelling nicely, isn't it? I took it from your trouser turn-ups, along with several others, while you were unconscious. You'll find quite a few more down in Dr. Probert's pantry. You knocked him over the night you broke in.
For heaven's sake, then. What is it?
A grain of truth, Professor. Usually found in stews, and that's precisely what you're in. It's pearl barley, Professor. Pearl barley.
Expect congratulations, Crib, for insubordination.
Insubordination, Mr. Jarrett?
At Dr. Probert's. Well, damn it, Crib, an officer of my rank expects to be allowed to question witnesses without interruption. And you...
Got a mite carried away, sir?
Precisely. The wet patch. Your theories about electricity. Could have asked all those damn questions myself.
Ah, very definitely, sir, and used better words. Just, I didn't realise you wanted things your own way.
Well, admit the circumstances were a bit irregular.
Most, sir.
Yeah, well, in that case, I may reconsider reporting you to the director. But be warned, Crib, there will be no repetition. Now, any idea why I summoned you here?
A parley about Mr. Brand's death?
We are in a modern detective force, Crib, not the Bow Street Runners.
Sir?
You are in Scotland Yard attending a conference.
Ah.
And besides you and Constable Thackeray, two others will be present. Mr. Cage, an authority on electrical matters. He has examined the apparatus at Richmond. And Dr. Benjamin.
The police surgeon?
Yes. He assisted in Brand's post-mortem this morning. Should have all the salient facts. Doctor, the evidence of massive shock?
Classic symptoms, Jarvet. Muscle contraction, tissue damage, necrosis of muscles and internal organs.
Madness! Only several hundred volts could have caused such extensive injury.
Then several hundred volts passed through the deceased.
But, Dr. Benjamin, I sat in that chair with a powerful arm. I am still alive.
Dr. Probert's transformer. Could there be a fault there, perhaps?
I think I checked everything, Jarvet. Almost nothing faulty. And regardless of Benjamin's findings, I shall tell the coroner that on oath. And I have my science on my side.
I don't doubt that, Cage. Or Dr. Benjamin's findings. But there has to be an explanation. Now, I am not subject to hallucinations, but I saw happenings last night that were unbelievable. A hand, totally disembodied, touching people, throwing oranges. It convinced me that serious spiritualism cannot be taken lightly, and that Mr. Brand's death may have been induced by the supernatural.
Then you're more gullible than Cage. Supernatural? Brand was a damn charlatan. You ever hear of Blue John?
Blue John? No, he's not known to me.
Not he, it. Blue John, or calcium fluoride, is a chemical. Found particles of it all over Brand's right palm.
Fail to see
what... You will, John, you will. Now, Blue John, heat him gently. He glows in the dark. So, coat your hand. Warm it gently over a fire. Then, turn off the lights. Know what you'll see? A disembodied, glowing, blue hand. That's how Brand fooled you. And he'd have gone even further had he lived.
Further?
Know what he was wearing under his suit? Huh? A white nightshirt with a bag of talcum powder in the pocket. Of course, I haven't your experience, Jowett. But if I were planning to manifest a ghostly visitor...
Hardly know what to say.
You could commend the doctor on a thorough examination.
Of course, Crib. Goes without saying, Doctor.
Then give credit where it's due to the fellow who sent me the note.
Note?
Suggesting I look for Blue John. Pay particular attention to Brand's palms. I thought you knew about it.
Why should I?
Well, it was signed by one of your officers. This quiet fellow here. Sergeant Cribb.
Damn it, Cribb. You could have had the decency to warn me.
Just obeying orders, sir, about interrupting.
Anything else I should know?
Do have a theory, sir. Plus some information Thackeray gleaned from Brand's father.
He was hanging around Brand's digs this morning. Oh, not worried about his son. Just what he might inherit. I told him to go and get...
Not now, Thackeray.
Sorry, sir.
Don't keep me in suspense, Crib.
Right. First, the electric chair. Now, Mr. Cage says it works perfect, as it did when you tested it. But somehow, it electrocuted Mr. Brand.
We know that, Sergeant.
So something had to make it lethal. Something that was put right after Brand died.
You're implying that Brand was murdered? Oh, but tampering with the apparatus be highly dangerous. The perpetrator could easily electrocute himself.
Only if the current was on, sir. But it was switched off after Brand claimed someone was spying on him.
Yes. Probert asked Captain Nye to do it. Oh, no, it won't work, Grim. Brand would have died immediately if the current was switched on again. He didn't. The galvanometer was steady for quite some time before Brand screamed.
I've a notion about that, too, sir. Need time to clarify it, but if we could proceed...
As long as we go somewhere, Crib.
To the spirit hand, sir. Now, that Blue John. Yes, that hand must have looked uncommon convincing.
It did.
And when it appeared, everyone was linking hands?
Yes.
Including Brand?
Certainly. He completed the circle.
But if his right hand, the one coated with Blue John, was floating in the air, the chain must have been broken. And that couldn't happen unless someone was aiding him.
Have to be the person seated on Brand's right. Miss Crush. But that's inconceivable.
Not if Brand had a hold on her, sir. And I believe he did.
Oh?
Proof was in Brand's wallet. You recall a certain photograph?
A young woman in puris naturalibus. Offensive, but suppose it did have a certain appeal, especially for Brown's class of person.
Class don't enter into it, sir. Especially since we know at least one gent
with similar leanings. But the picture ain't relevant. It's the numbers on the back that were important to Brand. And seeing he was illiterate...
What led you to that conclusion,
Kramer? Saw Street again, sir. Seemed odd. Professor Quayle reading the names on the envelopes, even ones that were handed to Brand personal. But Constable Thackeray gave me the final clue, that Brand may not have found reading easy, but that he was cognizant with numbers. Suggest you look at them again. Especially the second, with the square beside it.
9281 square. No, still don't mean anything.
But you ain't illiterate, sir, or speak like Brand. Thackeray?
Right, Sergeant. 9281 square.
Excellent, Thackeray. Inspector?
9281 square. 92 Eaton square. But that's...
Miss Crush's address in Belgravia. Yeah. Thought you'd get it, sir.
Amazing, Crimp. But 469 can't possibly be an address, no matter how Thackeray twists it.
It ain't, Gov. It's Acme carriage number, presently held by one Charles Brand of Blackheath.
The second most important person in Peter Brand's life.
Second? You know what you're suggesting, Crimp.
It's a fact, Gov. Brand's father swore it on oath. Said he... if you'll pardon the expression, seduced Miss Crush 20 years ago on Hampstead Heath.
Seduced me, Sergeant? Hardly. Though I may have been an ingenue 20 years ago, but I was not ill-bred enough to be seduced by a common cabman.
No, ma'am.
No. It was I who seduced him.
You?
You're shocked, Sergeant. But I was one of the new women. A disciple of John Stuart Mill. To think that a man would actually fight for women's emancipation.
Amazing.
He transformed my life, Sergeant. Taught me I need never be the slave of man. But to ensure that man would never overcome me by stealth, I had to make one foray. Discover the contents of his armory.
A sound strategy.
But I needed a suitable male, outside my social circle, of course, and that, Sergeant, was not easy. However, I did find a subject.
On a cab rank?
Yes. In the Strand. Within a week, I was able to undermine his defences. It was the only occasion, but unhappily there was a consequence.
You had a son, Peter?
Of course I couldn't keep the boy. But I did provide funds for his upkeep till he was 10 and able to fend for himself. Regrettably, he fell into bad company, racecourse touts, card sharps. I blame his father for that. He should have taken more care. Instead, he lost touch with the boy altogether.
As you did.
Now, that was prudent, Sergeant. Unfortunately, Peter learned of my existence.
And contacted you?
Last year. Oh, he was so charming. So interested in my life, who my friends were. Naturally, I was flattered, answered all his questions. And you know where that led.
To you helping him cheat your friends?
Yes.
His last seance, ma'am, obviously you aided him there as well?
Yes, I sat next to him. It allowed him to break the circle. He even claimed I was being touched by a spirit.
I understand Miss Probert made the same claim. Raised quite an outburst from her fiancé.
Yes, Captain Nye did get very upset, but naturally I cannot answer for them.
The spiritualistic movement. I understand you're a highly respected member.
I devote my life to it, Sergeant.
And that puzzles me. Deceiving an audience at Store Street, well, yeah. But trying to put something over on Dr. Probert... Mr. Strathmore, that's very different. Especially as they'd have found out sooner or later. Wouldn't have left you or your cause much of a reputation.
The reason must be obvious, Sergeant. My son was blackmailing me. And I could not afford to let the world know what occurred between me and a common cabman, even though it was 20 years ago. Surely you understand that.
Find it difficult too, ma'am. But blackmail, yeah. I detest that in any form.
And it does provide an ideal motive for murder.
Not Miss Crush, Sarge. No, she wouldn't have the know-how.
She's only one suspect. Now, what are you gripping those handles for?
Bram must have been holding onto them, Sarge.
But his left arm was hanging, Thackeray.
Couldn't have been electrocuted, then.
Muscle contraction, yes, he'd have gripped even harder. Good point. Now, slap down a bit. See if you can touch the transformer.
Impossible. Have to be an acrobat. Hey, Sarge. Here, on the carpet.
Chrysanthemum petals.
I thought the vase was on the mantelpiece. Suppose they could have stuck to someone's shoe.
Oh, to something else, Thackeray. Stick them in an envelope.
No evidence, Sarge.
That depends, Thackeray.
On what, Sarge?
On whether Brand was able to examine the chair before the seance. And he couldn't do that without cooperation.
Let Brand inspect my apparatus in advance. It'd negate the whole experiment.
But, Papa, Mr. Brand...
did not examine the chair before the seance.
Did anybody, apart from yourself?
Only Strathmore, last Wednesday. Helped me wire it up.
Still think Brand would have wanted to see it, if only for professional reasons.
Well, he didn't. Oh, if the interrogation's over, I'll show you the door.
I'll do that, Papa. Then perhaps Sergeant Cribb will escort me to the bridge. Carry my basket. Fruit for a deprived family.
Be my pleasure, Miss Probert. As for the basket, Constable Thackeray's outside. I reckon he won't object to a bit of exercise.
I appreciate your confidence, Sergeant. And like you, Papa also believes Mr. Brand was murdered.
And does he have a suspect in mind?
He is convinced that Professor Quayle is responsible. His accusation upset Mama greatly.
Thought your mother disapproved of spiritualists.
Only ones like Mr. Brand. But Professor Quayle is different. He's known Papa for over 10 years. Visits regularly. And never mentions spiritualism when Mama is present. You seem surprised, Sergeant.
I am, Miss. I had no idea the Professor was such a close friend.
Which is why neither Mama nor I can think of him as a murderer. Constable Thackeray seems to be dropping behind. Do you think we might wait for him?
Oh. As you wish, Miss. Bench right over here. Oh. Don't feel too damp.
Thank you.
Seances, Miss. Do you attend very many?
Whenever I am invited. I find them such fun.
Not sure Captain Nye'd agree. He was quite liverish last Saturday.
Oh, William's just like Mama. Gets agitated over nothing.
I'd feel the same, Miss, if I was your fiancé. Now, you're quite sure something touched you.
I don't imagine things, Sergeant. Being touched by spirits or knowing who killed Mr. Brand.
Well, then you know more than I do, Miss.
It's so obvious, Sergeant. Mr. Strathmore.
Strathmore? And his motive?
Mr. Strathmore calls himself an investigator. So he should be unbiased. Yet when he came to assist Papa, he had only one thing in mind. To trap Mr. Brand.
How?
He wanted to smear the chair with carbon powder. Weave thread all around the study. And the way he fussed over that chair, marking its precise position. He acted more like Sweeney Todd than a scientist.
You can hardly arrest him for that, Miss. The holes in your theory.
Holes?
Well, you did say Mr. Strathmore was the only person to see the chair before Saturday.
Yes.
But it's obvious you also saw it. As I suspect your mother did, and seeing Captain Nye as a daily visitor.
Yes, William did see it on Friday when Mr. Brand came. Oh.
Knew he'd been, Miss. Some arrangements about the seance, no doubt?
I think so. Though why Papa didn't want it mentioned. You won't tell Papa I told you.
Our secret, Miss. Oh, Thackeray.
Oh, I'm glad you waited, Sarge. This bag.
Oh, better pass it over then. Oh! Oh. Really, Thackeray?
Me, Sarge.
Don't just stand there. Help Miss Probert.
Thank you.
Sorry, Miss.
That's the lot, Sergeant. And they ain't too bruised, miss.
Oh, no harm done, Constable. Now it is somewhat late.
Well, I delayed you long enough, miss. And a pleasant day.
Goodbye.
Sorry, Thackeray, but had to see what was under the fruit.
You could have asked me then, Sarge. Checked it earlier. Just the airbrush and comb.
Really?
Nothing extraordinary in there.
Is it?
Your question. So you follow the lady at a discreet distance, of course, and find out.
I've never seen anything like it. Miss Probert posing for a painter, naked as the day she was born. It ain't seemly, Sarge.
Could say the same about members of the force climbing on a trellis, peeping through first floor windows. Not surprised you collected that shiner. Didn't think Captain Nye had it in him. Now, you're sure he didn't see Miss Probert?
No, definite, Sarge.
But he knew she was in the house.
But not why, Sarge. Seems Miss Probert told him it was a meeting place. The Philanthropic Ladies of Richmond. But the only reason he followed her was because of me. He thought I was trying to accost the lady. Then spotted me on the trellis. Well, I could hardly tell him why I was there. So I let him think I was a peeping Tom. That's when he hit me.
Rather you than me, Thackeray. Now, I'm expecting company, so no more talk of artists and undressing. In fact, you will stay completely silent, and that's an order.
Understood, Sarge. But what happens if you ask me something?
You want to ask me something, Sergeant?
Yes, Mrs. Probert. The proposal in my letter.
Oh, but reconstructing the seance. Is it really necessary?
Crucial, ma'am.
Oh, then how can I object? However, I will not be present. But you must get my husband's agreement.
Wrote to him as well, ma'am. Now, the matter of Professor Quayle.
You indicated I might see him.
And so you shall, but first there's a little matter of procedure. So far, Professor Quayle is only charged under the Larceny Act of 1861, entering a dwelling with the intent to commit a felony. But he has admitted stealing from your husband and Miss Crush.
My husband would prefer his charge to be dropped.
Understandably, ma'am. And Miss Crush is of the same opinion. But even if I exceed, there's still one charge left outstanding. Now, personally, I do not consider the professor a public danger, but I must be convinced he entered your house for a valid reason. Otherwise, minimum 3 years, Mrs. Probert.
No.
Maximum 7. And Wandsworth Prison. Ain't the easiest of places, not for a gentleman anyway.
Prison would destroy him, Sergeant, in mind and in body. And as you have realized, I could not carry that on my conscience. Very well. I will tell you for his sake.
You've said enough, ma'am. As I see it, your husband is frequently occupied, so you invite an old and valued friend to your room for some pleasurable conversation. Maybe even indulge in a small glass of gin. All innocent and above board, ma'am. As it was last Saturday. Correct, ma'am?
You are most understanding, Sergeant. Unfortunately, my husband will never believe our meetings were so totally innocent.
Can't think how he'd get to hear of it, ma'am. Can you, Thackeray? Thackeray. Thackeray ain't feeling too well, ma'am. But assure you, he's totally reliable. Even suffered a black eye safeguarding a lady's secret. You can bring the professor up now, Thackeray.
Right, sir.
But make sure you take the Darbys on first.
I owe you a great deal, Sergeant.
Just doing my duty, Professor. But you could clarify one small point.
If I can.
It concerns Miss Probert. Her visits to a certain hat shop in Richmond.
I am aware she goes there, yes.
It's a family joke, Sergeant. Alice dashing down Richmond Hill with an armful of marrows for the deprived, then stopping on the way to try on hats. It is somewhat amusing.
Amusing enough for you to mention it to the professor?
As a harmless anecdote.
So naturally you passed the story on to Mr. Brand?
Well, yes.
But last Friday I believe Mr. Brand repeated it to the Proberts when he visited your house, ma'am, with some additions.
Yes, he said he'd followed Alice, seen her enter the milliner's wearing one set of garments and leave a few minutes later in a different ensemble. Brand implied she was
visiting someone in secret.
Naturally, you assumed a lover.
So did my husband. It's the first time we've ever agreed on anything.
But why? Brand must have had a reason.
He needed Dr. Probert's cooperation, and the only way he could get it was by blackmail. Used Miss Alice's reputation as the lever, or what would have been left of it if the story got out.
It's fortunate she didn't know then.
I reckon she did, sir. That's why she helped him during the seance. Brand was a sharp. Needed all the accomplices he could lay his hands on. And I believe he made a separate approach to Miss Alice. Told her what he knew. Threatened to pass it on to Captain Nye. What choice did she have?
Probert and Alice. And neither knowing about the other.
Told you Brand was clever. Especially when you consider it was all based on supposition.
Supposition?
That because Miss Alice changed her appearance, she had to be visiting a lover.
And you have reason to suppose differently?
Matter of fact, I do, sir. Had Constable Thackeray follow her yesterday.
Well, what was the girl up to?
Might be better if Mrs. Probert told you.
Why me, Sergeant?
Obviously, you discussed it with her, ma'am. Hardly think you'd have allowed her out yesterday, otherwise.
Well, yes. We did speak to her on Sunday, after Mr. Brand's death. Augustus told her about the impossible situation in which she had been placed that was due to her inconsiderate behaviour. But it transpired it was all caused by Captain Nye's ridiculous jealousy. Apparently William had taken to following her everywhere. So she resorted to subterfuge whenever she wanted to escape his surveillance. At least that was her explanation.
A true one, Mrs. Probert. Confirmed by my constable.
So it was nothing more than a bit of innocent fun, eh?
Well, she certainly wasn't painting the town red, sir. I'm sure of that.
Now, before the lights go out, I must ask you to behave exactly as you did last Saturday evening. Some of you, speaking candidly, assisted the medium. I shall not go into the reasons, but I do appeal to you, play your parts precisely.
But we have no medium.
Sergeant Cribb will take the place of Mr. Brand. I have given him a full account of the events. Good. Then we shall begin. The lights, please, Dr. Probert.
Certainly.
Good. Now, link hands.
First, I believe, Mr. Brand asked you not to be alarmed. Soon after, one of you indicated a supernatural presence.
Me? That is, I did.
And then Miss Crush communicated with her Uncle Walter.
Yes, yes, we recorded, Sergeant. After which we were treated to the apparent manifestation of a spirit hand.
Good.
How the devil did that get here? I will not have a repetition.
Oh, it is touching me. Very lightly, William.
My skirt, too. It's pulling my skirt.
Oh, damn it. Ouch! This is taking things too far. Right.
Lights, if you please, Doctor.
Who the blazes put out another bowl of oranges?
Poor William. You're bruised all over.
Most obliging of you to take another pummeling, Captain. Mm. And so, I believe we have now reproduced the first half of the seance with fidelity.
Mm, and what's the damn charade proved?
Proved, sir? It's proved that the vase of chrysanthemums is still upright.
Yes. On Saturday it was tipped over, hit by an orange.
Well, then we'd better do just that, hadn't we?
Now, damn you, policeman! That mantle's mahogany!
Then I'll do what Brand did, sir. Use me handkerchief. There. And no harm done. Now, if you please, show your guests the chair.
Ladies and gentlemen, please. Now, the second stage of this reconstruction. Brand, or rather Sergeant Cribb, is behind the curtain. Are you entering your trance, Sergeant?
Ready to proceed, sir.
Shouldn't we hear footsteps?
Here, what's going on? Oh, get off, Thackeray.
That's when Brand asked to see me.
No, Probert. Alice suggested something might be wrong, remember? And you asked me to check. I did, like this. I said, all right, Brand. And then he asked for you.
Get Probert.
Yes, of course. So I asked William to switch off the current.
Right. Went behind the curtain.
And ruined the carpet. Sorry, Papa.
I assume I kicked over the salt solution, Giant, and then we all tried to pacify Brand.
Consider me pacified, Doctor.
Ready to die, then, Crib?
Only in simulation, sir. And not in view of the audience.
Right, William, switch on.
Galvanometer reading correct, is it?
Perfect. Assume a few moments have passed. Captain?
Yes, of course. Saw the door start to open and...
Coming through the curtain. Miss, it's Sergeant Crib. The chair's got him. It's his spirit going to purgatory.
Lights, Probert. Get that powder off your face, Sergeant.
Right, sir. I'll get the nightshirt off as well, if I may.
William, I believe he's fainted.
Yes, I think I'm perfectly all right, my dear. As for you, Crib, what in blazes are you playing at?
Just demonstrating what Brand intended on Saturday, sir. The fake manifestation of a spirit.
Fake? If he couldn't have. Not without leaving the chair, breaking the current.
I did, miss. And the galvanometer will confirm it.
Crib's right. Current's still unbroken. Impossible!
Not if someone's taken the sergeant's place. Constable Thackeray? Oh.
As you see, miss, the chair is unoccupied.
Oh, but, Sergeant, that... stretched between the handles...
Handkerchief, miss. It's standing in for me.
Ridiculous, Crib. Scientific fact. Cloth ain't a conductor.
But water is, sir. And that handkerchief is soaked with it.
Water from the flower bar.
Only way I could get a handkerchief wet and still keep it in my pocket. But don't take credit for the idea. That came from Brand. Simply followed it to a logical conclusion.
Logical, Crib? Oh, agreed. Brand saturated his handkerchief, even had it in his pocket. But he'd still have to get it out. Bit difficult with both hands grasping those handles, eh?
I suggest you demonstrate, Crib.
Take Brand first, sir. Now, we know he once worked with the turf mobs, the shell game, three-card trick, and you need nimble fingers for that, so he'd do this trick even faster than I can. Now, I place the handkerchief in me right pocket. Leave a bit showing. Sit in the chair and press both palms firm against the handles. The galvanometer will prove I'm immobilized.
Obviously.
Hands maybe, sir, but not my body. Can bend that quite easy. Now, let's bring me right pocket down to me right thumb. Use it to hook out the handkerchief. And then, still keeping the right palm firm on the handle, use me fingers to slot one end of the handkerchief into this groove where the handle screws into the chair.
Still have to connect the other end.
Even easier, sir. Bend, lift the free end of the handkerchief with me teeth. Drop it over my left hand. There. And ease it into the groove there. Now, release my grip on the handles. The handkerchief takes over.
It's clever. But it don't tell us how Brand died.
Give you the answer to that as well, sir. But first, be obliged if you'd switch off the current.
Again?
Be for the last time, Captain.
Oh, right.
And since I'll be needing a corpse...
The electric, Sarge. You sure they're off?
You'll know soon enough, Thackeray. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is how we found Mr. Brand.
Oh, extremely realistic, Thackeray. Excellent, Crib.
If you care to take over, sir.
Note the position of the left arm. As you see, it is hanging downwards. So why is it not on the handle?
Mr. Brown could have dropped the handkerchief. Was trying to pick it up.
A very clever thought, Miss Probert. But it don't explain the 400 volts that killed him.
Told you, Jared. Only way to get a shock like that was through the mains cable. And that was well out of Brand's reach.
But the wet handkerchief wasn't, sir. Oh, it was on the floor, all right, as your daughter suggested. But one end was attached to the mains terminal, and when Brand reached for it...
Oh, the holes in your theory, Sergeant.
Open to correction, miss.
You're forgetting we all rushed in to help Mr. Brand.
And if there'd been a handkerchief, somebody would have seen it.
No one's admitting it, miss. But we know Bran did have a handkerchief and used it. And seeing it wasn't in his pocket when I searched him, only one explanation is possible. Someone removed it after Bran's murder.
Plausible theory, policeman, but it don't prove a handkerchief was ever tied to the transformer.
These? Proof enough, Doctor?
Chrysanthemum petals.
Found them yesterday, next to the transformer. And there's only one way they could have got there, on Bran's handkerchief. Must have stuck to it when he was mopping the mantelpiece. And being small, they're hardly to be noticed. Especially by someone in a hurry. As you were, Doctor, when you lifted the handkerchief.
Insane accusation, Charles. My house? In front of my guests?
Do you deny it, sir?
Deuced impertinence.
At your accusation, Sergeant, I suggest you clarify it.
As you wish. But you'll have to think back to Saturday. To just after we discovered Bran's body. Now, including myself, six people were present, each one doing something specific. I helped Dr. Probert lift Bran from the chair, then had to run upstairs in pursuit of Professor Quayle.
Confirm that, and I followed you out almost immediately. Miss Probert?
Miss Crush had fainted. I was trying to revive her.
With sal volatile. Brandy works far better, my dear.
And you, Captain?
Me? Doing what I've been doing all evening. I'm standing by the damn electric switch. Strathmore was right by me.
Reckon I've made my point, then. Seems Dr. Probert was the only person left close enough to Bran, the chair, and the transformer, to pick up the handkerchief. You still deny it, sir?
No.
Papa, why?
Why? Well, saw Bran dead. Didn't want a murder investigation. Waited till the current was off. Took the handkerchief. Impulse, my dear, that's all.
No, sir.
Still contradicting me, policeman?
In the interest of truth, Doctor. Now, you say you saw the handkerchief and immediately thought of murder. Why?
I'm not blind, policeman. Handkerchief was attached to the mains terminal.
Then possibly I ain't so sharp as you, sir. My first thought was for Mr. Brand and his tragic accident. But then maybe you had murder on your mind.
You have no right to talk to
Hush,
people like that.
Child. You're right, Sergeant. I did have murder in mind. And I confess to killing Peter Brand.
No! No, it's not true. It can't
Alice,
be.
Alice, please, go upstairs. Break the news to your mother.
Miss, before you do that...
Well?
You must convince your father you did not kill Peter Brand.
But I didn't.
He believes you did.
Why? For what reason?
To silence Brand. Protect your reputation. Your visits to that hat shop. And last Saturday, he couldn't fail to notice you were aiding Brand, conclude you were being blackmailed. And when Brand died...
Oh, he assumed I killed him. And you took the handkerchief, confessed to murder, to protect me.
Oh, all over. Hush, hush, Alice.
Then you do believe me. And I did explain about the hat shop.
Yes. The pity is, we didn't talk earlier. My thanks, policeman.
Still a murderer to arrest, Crib?
I'll do that all right, sir. But that ain't the real problem.
I hardly thought there was another. But knowing you...
Well, sir, it's the circumstances of this crime that bother me. Events which no one, least of all the murderer, could have predicted.
Such as?
For Brand to die by electrocution, there had to be a wet handkerchief and a reason for Brand to reach for it. But that was a secret known only to Brand. There had to be a damp patch close enough to Brand's feet to earth the current.
The salt solution.
Which you kicked over, but only by chance. Finally, there had to be opportunity. Time for the murderer to attach the handkerchief to the transformer.
Only one time that could have happened, Crib. When we were pacifying Brand.
After Quayle blundered in, again, by chance.
You're not going to say Brand's death was an accident, are you?
No, sir. But it wasn't planned in advance.
Ah, in legal parlance, without malice aforethought, eh?
I prefer to say it was improvised. At the one moment when all the chance circumstances came together, only then was the murder possible.
But that means Mr. Brand must have said, done something to provoke one of us.
Yes. He stupidly let his murderer see the handkerchief stretched between the handles.
But no one did. Could have. And we had no idea Mr. Brand was even contemplating such a deception. At least not until you told us.
Yes, he's right, Crib. No one could possibly have known.
But someone did, Doctor. The first person to peer through those curtains. In fact, you asked him to do it.
No. Not Henry Strathmore.
Only reason he contradicted you this evening. Insisted on being totally accurate.
Precisely, Crib. First one to look through on Saturday had to repeat the action tonight in the interests of accuracy.
And to check if I'd cottoned on, knew about what you'd seen.
Still a damn slender thread to support a murder charge.
Give you rope as well, sir. Before the murder, you were totally convinced Brand was genuine, that your 12-year search had ended, and then you discovered you'd been duped by a fraud with a pocket handkerchief. That must have been very galling, seeing fame, recognition vanish.
Applied equally well to Probert, and he took the handkerchief.
And that convinced me he hadn't put it there in the first place.
But he did have a damn good motive as well.
Yes, which Brand provided the night before the seance.
So?
So, Dr. Probert had plenty of time to build a fault into the transformer. He didn't need the handkerchief, not until he panicked over his daughter. But he did make things awkward for you. You wanted the handkerchief found.
Let's say it was necessary for it to be found. A wet handkerchief by the transformer. The whole thing could have been passed off as an accident.
And provided the evidence that Brand was cheating. You wanted everyone to know that, didn't you? But without the handkerchief, all you could do was accuse Brand, attempt to justify your change of opinion, imply that Quayle was there to assist him. You'd have done better waiting for the post-mortem. The nightshirt and blue jar would have proved everything for you.
Brilliantly deduced, Sergeant. And almost correct.
Almost? Then you do admit killing him.
My mistake was to behave unscientifically. Make an assertion I knew to be true without demonstrable proof. You're right. I should have waited.
Still no excuse for cold-blooded murder, Mr. Strathmore.
Murder? You're right, Sergeant. I did spot the handkerchief. Naturally, it didn't let on to Brand.
And he'd put it in his pocket by the time Dr. Probert arrived.
Obviously. But retrieving it was no problem. End was sticking out of Brand's pocket. Then I attached it to the transformer while I was checking the circuit.
Leaving Brand to his fate.
Yes, to his fate. My actions simply put Brand to the final test. Had he been genuine, he would not have touched the handkerchief. He did. And you can hardly call that murder.
Ah, long night, Thackeray.
Worthwhile, Sarge.
Reckon he'll swing?
Wouldn't put money on it, Thackeray. Very known is our Mr. Strathmore. Admitted to everything except his motive. And with a good defence counsel, his background... He'll stand up well in the box.
Not half as well as Alice Probert, Sarge.
Still can't get over it. The press ever find out.
Think back, Thackeray. A swaying trellis. Peeping through a first floor window. No. I reckon you imagine the whole thing.
I am a trained observer, Sarge.
Not when you use your blind eye, Thackeray. Consider. Last week, we had a disunited family. Now, much better we forget the whole thing. Leave the Probert's in harmony.
Won't give odds on that, Sarge. Spotted something while you was busy with the seance.
Oh?
A flask of gin headed in the direction of Mrs. Probert's room. The professor was attached to it. I shouldn't think there's much left in it by now. All much harmony once Dr. Probert gets upstairs.
Wouldn't worry over much there, Thackeray.
Huh?
Last I saw Dr. Probert, he was heading for the picture gallery.
He'll hardly stay there all night, Sarge.
All depends on Miss Crush, Thackeray. She was with Dr. Probert.
Seems he was planning to show her his Etty.
In A Case of Spirits by Peter Lovesey, adapted for radio by Geoffrey M. Matthews, the part of Sergeant Cribb was played by Barry Foster and Constable Thackeray by John Cater. Roger Hume was Inspector Jowett, William Edel, Dr. Probert and Mr. Cage, June Tobin, Winifred Probert, David Garth, Henry Strathmore, and Frances Jeter, Miss Crush. Melinda Walker was Alice Probert, Geoffrey Collins, William Nye, Robin Summers, Peter Brand, Ronald Herdman, Professor Quayle, and Alan Thompson, Dr. Benjamin. The play was directed by Peter Windows.